puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
We're back with Gordon Goldsboro and Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Bryce.
So what is it we're discussing this week?
Well, listeners may recall that last week I discussed a trip that I had taken in June to the abandoned seaport of Port Nelson. Well, today we're going to talk about the second of my two trips to northern Manitoba, this time to a remote camp on God's Lake, from which I hope to visit the first and now abandoned hydroelectric generating station that had been built in northern Manitoba.
And where does this adventure start?
Well, normally when I talk about an abandoned place in this series, I've visited it personally, you know, but occasionally when the site is very remote, I have to rely on information from other sources. So let's go back way back to December of 2018. That's when we first talked about this hydroelectric generating station located on the Canoochewan River in northern Manitoba. It's about 320 miles, about 520 kilometers northeast of Winnipeg. Now, getting there is a real challenge, and I've been trying to arrange a visit for several years. This year, I thought that I had a perfect solution. I would travel by chartered airplane to the Elk Island Lodge. That's a fly-in fishing camp that's situated on an island in God's Lake. From there, a fishing guide would take me by boat to the mouth of the Canoochewan River, where it flows into the southwest corner of God's Lake. It would be a fairly short boat ride up the river to the site of the generating station. And although the trip was not going to be cheap, it sounded pretty easy.
So you say you were going to see the first hydro station in northern Manitoba. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. You know, if one considers the history of power generation in Manitoba, the first hydro dams were constructed in southern areas of the province, first on the Little Saskatchewan River near Brandon, and later on the Winnipeg River, in eastern Manitoba. Tapping the vast potential of the mighty northern rivers of Manitoba was a logical next step. And in 1952, the Laurie River Generating Station began operating in northwestern Manitoba. However, it was preceded by this hydro station on the Canoochewan River. That one was built 17 years earlier than Laurie River in 1935. And its main purpose was to produce electricity to run a gold mine that, well, not coincidentally, was actually on the Elk Island at the site of my fly-in fishing camp. The trip was a twofer, therefore. I would see the former gold mine, and I'd see the hydro station that had powered it.
So how long did it take to get to the site of the generating station?
The flight to Elk Island was about 90 minutes, and we touched down on Elk Island in mid-afternoon of the first day. Because the boat ride to the Canoochewan Generating Station was going to take several hours, there simply wasn't enough time that first day. So instead, my guide took me to see some of the remains of the former gold mine. Now, it had opened in 1935, and interestingly enough, it only operated 8 years. It closed in 1943. Until about 15 years ago, there was still many remains of the gold mine. There was some open shafts down into the earth. There was at least one headframe that had been used to lower men and equipment down into that mine. Several of the buildings from the former mine site, things like the former Hudson's Bay Company store, a few of the residences where the miners had lived, they had been repurposed by the fishing camp. But around 2007, the provincial government hired a company to do an extensive site cleanup. Well, unfortunately for me, that cleanup entailed taking down any of the unused buildings and capping the mine shafts with concrete.
So it sounds like there was not much to see.
Well, of the former mine, no. But our guide was able to show remnants of the mine that the cleanup crew had missed. And they were scattered all over the place. You know, there were pipes, there were steel rails, there was an absolutely vast amount of waste rock that they had excavated from the mine in the course of, you know, getting gold. And there was plenty of other debris. You know, so for instance, we found three dump carts. They were small metal carts that had been used to bring gold-bearing ore from deep in the ground. Now they were laying in the forest, partially overgrown with moss. On a nearby small island near to Elk Island, we saw a cemetery. It contained a couple of grave markers for infants who had been born to miners, and I guess they hadn't thrived. They'd passed away and had been buried on this island. Probably several other unmarked graves on that island as well. But a highlight for me was on another nearby island. It was shown on our maps as something called Tower Island, and we quickly realized why it was called that. There was a tall steel tower left over from the 42-mile transmission line. Now, keep in mind, you know, when you have a generating station that produces power, you've got to transmit it to wherever you need that power. And in this case, there had been this 42-mile transmission line that carried electricity from the Canoochewan generating station to the mine. Well, it stood on this island, this Tower Island. And in fact, it's been abandoned so long that on the top of this tower, there was actually an eagle's nest, you know, and I'm sure the eagle loved having this grand view of the whole surrounding area. And in fact, next to the tower, we found remains of the steel and aluminum cable that had carried the power. So we got a very tangible evidence of the role of this transmission line in carrying power.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And so this was on the first day of your visit. I assume you visited the GS on the second day.
Yes, that was our plan. We knew that the boat trip on God's Lake and to the Canoochewan River would take at least 3 hours. In fact, it was really windy on that day, so there was a lot of great big waves. And it ended up taking us a little over 2 hours to reach the mouth of the Canoochewan River. At that point, we realized the basis for the river's name. It turns out Canoochewan is an indigenous word that means long current. And what that means is that there's a whole series of very challenging rapids along the river's length. So we took one look at that and realized we were not going to be able to boat up the river the way we had originally thought. So, in fact, that's why the generating station had been built there in the first place, because, you know, because there was sufficient elevation change to produce the head that you need for power production. You need water to fall so that it can, you know, spin the turbines to generate electricity. Well, we couldn't get upriver because of these rapids, so instead we pulled our boat up to shore and we decided where we're going to have to walk the rest of the way. Well, luckily, it quickly became clear that we were not the first ones to have done this. Right where we pulled the boat up, there was an old tracked vehicle that looked like it was probably from the 1930s. Mm. And they might have used this old tracked vehicle to, you know, to move along the, you know, the road that was turns out to be there. It turns out, yeah, hidden in the trees, we found an old grader that they had probably used to maintain a road to the generating station. So we thought, wow, this is going to be really easy. You know, the road was partially overgrown, but it was still pretty easily walkable. So we thought, okay, we'll start to walk and we'll walk to the generating station. No problem.
So far, so good.
Well, we walked about an hour and everything was going great. You know, even the bugs weren't too bad. We were within a kilometer of the generating station. You know, I could just feel it. We were getting so close. And we were at a spot where I knew we were going to have to cross a small creek. And that's where we ran into trouble. Well, unfortunately, in this exceptionally wet year, it was not a small creek. It was a raging torrent. You know, we discussed ways that we might cross the creek. You know, we thought about maybe throwing a rope across and sort of pulling ourselves across. But, you know, we decided in the end it was just simply too dangerous. And it was so frustrating, you know, after spending all that time getting there and all the money to fly, you know, I was ultimately stymied in my efforts to see the Canoochewan Generating Station firsthand.
Rats. So you never did get to see it then?
Well, actually, I did. You know, I brought a drone with me. This is the opportunity to use it. So I sent the drone up in the air and I was able to get numerous photos and a few videos of the site. You know, maybe not quite as close to it as I had hoped, but certainly better than nothing.
Absolutely better than nothing. So what did you see through the drone?
Well, it appears that cleanup crew who had removed most of the mine on Elk Island back in 2007 also came here. You know, I had seen photos of the site from the late 1980s, and at that time, there was a two-story wooden powerhouse that had contained the station's generator, and it was sitting on top of the dam where the water would collect, you know, to flow over to make the power. Well, the walls and the roof of that powerhouse are now gone. And the generator is still there, but and it's exposed to the elements. Interesting, I could even see water flowing through what's called the tail race downstream of the generator. What that means is that water is still flowing through the generator, and it could therefore mean that the generator could still generate electricity if somebody wanted it to. Near the powerhouse, there had been several wooden buildings that were left over from the construction camp. Of course, they had needed places where the workers could live. And this was back, of course, in the 1930s. Well, later years, those buildings had been occupied by another fly-in fishing camp. Well, all those buildings were gone. They had been demolished. But there was a very large metal drag line, you know, a big bucket that they had used to scoop out the soil when they were constructing the power channel at the generating station. It was still there, surrounded by trees. And there probably was a few other machines. There were some trucks and other stuff that had been there. If I'd been able to get down on the ground, I probably would have seen them. So, well, again, I didn't see quite everything I wanted to, but it was better than nothing. You know, I do want to give a big shout out to my very congenial host at the Elk Island Fishing Camp. He made it possible. A fellow named Greg Dick. Had it not been for Greg, I never would have got even within a kilometer. And I really also have to thank my guide, a fellow named Kyle Fountain. He showed me numerous historical structures. You know, he's been working there many years and he's found all these things in his time there. If it hadn't been for Kyle, I would have seen much less than I did otherwise. So all in all, it was a very productive trip. Well, maybe not quite as much as I had hoped, but certainly better than it could have been.
These things don't always go as planned. Shout out to Greg Dick and Kyle Fountain. So Gordon, can you give us a little bit of a teaser about next week's episode?
Well, longtime listeners know about my fascination with grain elevators and especially the trend to tear them all down. Well, I bet some people think that I've talked about every conceivable aspect of elevators, but nope, there's more. So next week, we're going to talk about two elevators that are not quite gone, but not quite there either.
Thanks so much, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.
That's Gordon Goldsboro with fascinating stories about lost and forgotten places in our province of Manitoba. And you can see photos of the abandoned places that Gordon talks about every weekend on the Manitoba Historical website. That's mhs.ca.